right. Good seeing. Well, let's turn to Romans 1. We started looking at this last Sunday. And basically, it has to do with rebellion against God. Because of that, Paul says that God's wrath is revealed against them. And that rebellion is seen in three different ways we mentioned last Sunday. First of all, there is indifference toward God. They suppress God's truth and refuse to honor Him. There is ingratitude. They're not thankful to God. And then there's ignorance. In other words, they have become empty in their thinking and their hearts are darkened. Now, verse 22 says they think they're wise, but they become fools. So now, we saw that last week. But one thing Paul did not tell us yet. He didn't tell us how God's wrath is revealed. Because he says that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. But he didn't tell us how. So that's what we want to look at this morning. So let's go down to verse 24. From this verse to verse 28, we have three times that God gave them over or gave them up. Abandon them. Well, that's kind of the way the unrighteous want it anyway, right? Psalm 2, break their bands asunder. And that's, you know, listen, wicked people, unrighteous people, they don't want God around anyway. They just seem to live without Him. We don't need Him. Well, God says, okay, we'll make that happen. I'll abandon you. Or I'll turn you over, or give you up. And that's what he does here. You remember the father of the prodigal son? Remember the prodigal son wanted his possessions and all, and he wanted to just leave. And he was adamant about that. So what did his father do? Go ahead. He basically gave him up, turned him over. Now, he didn't send him a phone call every day. He didn't send out a search party. He didn't do any of that. He just left him alone. Didn't bother. Now, I'm sure he prayed for him. I'm sure he thought about it. I'm sure of that. He was a father, right? But he let him alone. Didn't try to ask about him. Have you seen my son? None of that. His son goes out and he gets so bad off that he's out there eating the food of the pigs. And he finally did what? Came to his senses. And he goes back home. And the father accepts him. Well, that's kind of what we're looking at here. God abandoned, gave them up, gave them over, and to three different things. Now, when we say God abandoned them, gave them up, that doesn't mean that it was a hands-off thing. Doesn't mean a hands-off policy. Doesn't mean that he let them just go out and to nothing. That's not what it's talking about here. He didn't give them up to just nothing. But he does give them up or give them over to their sin and the consequences of their sin. Did the prodigal son, did he have some consequences? Oh yeah, he did. So God does the same thing that he's talking about, the same thing here in this first chapter of Romans. And it's the consequences of them holding his truth down, suppressing his truth. Do you realize that is the greatest problem in the world today? If you want to go and just make it very simple, it is that they don't want anything to do with the truth of God. It is his creation not wanting to have anything to do with the one who created. That's it. That's about as simple as you can get. It is a suppressing of God's truth. It is not listening to God's truth. How many people mess their lives up because they just don't want to listen to God's word? And then later on, when they've got all the scars and they have troubled many people, they come to their senses, some do, praise God, and they return. And they begin to listen to the truth. So it's not like he has just turned them loose to run around out there in nothing. That's not what he's talking about. Now, God, we know there are consequences. When we sin, there's going to be consequences. Period. We know that. And if you have a piece of metal in your hand and you hold it on to it and you turn it loose, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fall, isn't it? Why is it going to fall? Because of gravity. When you release it, gravity takes over. God, when he abandons us, when he turns us over, a person over, that's like that piece of metal that we turn loose. But in this case, in a spiritual sense, it is God's moral gravity that takes over. That's where the consequences come. And that's what's taking place in chapter 1 of Romans. So we want to look at that. And we have here, it's, I don't know that you see it's a downward spiral, but anytime you suppress God's truth, you're going to go down. And you're going to go down. And you're going to go down. It's a downward thing. It always is. It's a downward path when you do that. Now, notice something it says here. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." Now, I want you to look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 of Romans, verse 5 says, "But after their hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself," guess what? "Wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Now, notice something. That wrath is future. That's God's future wrath when judgment day comes. And he says, as long as you remain impenitent, as long as you do not listen to him, you just treasuring up wrath upon wrath that will be poured out on you judgment day. That's future. However, when we come to Romans 1 in verse 18, that is not future. That's right now. What does it say? The wrath of God is revealed. Not will be. See, we always think of God's wrath in the future. No, God's wrath is working even today as we sit here. As you sit here, it's happening. It is at work today. So make sure we understand that. There is a present wrath of God that's happening, and then there is a future wrath of God that will come in the future. So we want to look at this present wrath that we see here. It is being revealed in his house, giving them over, giving them up, That's how it's being revealed. So when he gives them up to their sinfulness, that is the working of God's wrath. That is God's wrath at work right now. Right now. Now let's look at the areas that Paul's talking about. Number one, verse 24 and 25. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, or the desires of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies, our own bodies, between themselves. Now notice this, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God says, I will turn you over, I will give you up to uncleanness. So he is saying, I will take and I will deliver them up into the hands, basically, of their desires, of their lusts. And when we see God withdrawing his restraints from individuals, from a society against sin, and we see that sin beginning to work itself out in people's conduct, because that's what happens. When God begins to remove his restraint from a society because of sin, and that sin, we begin to see it working itself out into the conduct of individuals, Paul is telling us that is God's wrath against sin now. That is his wrath against sin now. So, and Paul's saying, when a human heart says, I will rebel against God, I will not honor God, I will have nothing to do with God, I want it my own way, God says, okay, you have it your own way, and I'll turn you over to it. You can have it. And that, giving them up to their own desires, becomes their punishment, really. Becomes their own punishment. The word uncleanness in verse 24 is the word akathosia. And it means almost always speaking of immoral sexual sins. That leads us to the second. Now notice what he says. When that happens, we exchange God for that. We begin to serve the creature more than the Creator. But then he goes on. Now here's the second thing. Verse 25. He says, who changed the truth of God because of their uncleanness. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. So now here's the second time. The first one was back. He gave them up to their desires and their lusts. Now what did that lead to? For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error. So the giving up of a natural relation to an unnatural relation resulted in what? Homosexuality. Now, why does Paul deal with that? I mean, this is out of, like, it really, you know, first time you read Romans 1, you think, okay, sin and righteousness, we did all this stuff here, and all of a sudden he pinpoints this one thing. I mean, there's a lot of sins. Why does he pinpoint this one thing? Paul is writing to the Romans from Corinth. He's not in Rome, hadn't been to Rome yet. He's writing from Corinth, which was a cesspool. Corinth was extremely immoral. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 15. Now he's writing to Corinth here, but remember, he also wrote the letter to Rome from Corinth. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that ye which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. The word fornication there is all immoral acts, of sensual acts. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sin against his own body. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now remember this morning, I said, how in the world did Paul give a commendation to Corinth and not Galatia? Because this was not doctrinal, this was their behavior. You got to understand, these people in Corinth, they came out of a very paganistic, immoral background where you had their worship in temples, you had temple prostitutes, you had all of that. That was the luggage they were bringing in. And so Paul wants them to understand, you're not behaving like one that has the Holy Spirit. Well, to them, they didn't see anything wrong with it. They didn't see anything wrong with that. And so that's why Paul is dealing. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And your spirit. You know, most people think it's just in the spirit. In your body. Take care of your body. The body's important. You know how some people say, it's my body. No, it's not. It's God's body if you're a Christian. And you glorify them in both, body and spirit. Now, he's writing from Corinth, so no wonder now over as he's writing to Rome from Corinth, he's dealing with basically the same thing. Corinth is a Greek town. It's Grecian. And their belief was the highest form of love was homosexual love. That's why they didn't see any problem in it. Go back and read the history of Greek, the culture of Greece back then. That's why he bought that out. Because they were coming out of that and they didn't think that should change, because we're talking about love and the highest form of love. Surely that can't be bad. And so Paul had to deal with that issue there in Corinth. So now in Rome, it is rampant. It is rampant in Rome. Same as it was in Corinth. And so he is also writing Rome on this. Go back and look at how many emperors were homosexuals. Now they had wives, but it's still homosexual. 14 out of the first 15 emperors of Rome. Well, remember, Rome didn't ever do anything on their own. They stole from those that they conquered. So when they conquered Greece, then Greece, guess what? Their culture and their philosophy came into Rome, and Rome adopted it. They didn't come. Rome never came up with anything that was original. So they adopted it all. So he's in Corinth, writing to Rome, telling them the situation, and God says, here, I'll turn them over. Now, here's the thing. Isn't it strange that Paul does not say, careful now, it's unbiblical. He didn't say anything about that in our passage. Now, he could have gone to the Old Testament. He could have gone over to Leviticus and said, don't you see this? This is God's law. You're breaking God's moral law. He could have done that. He could go to Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. He could have looked at that and said, here it is. It's unbiblical. He didn't do that. I mean, if you're dealing with somebody like that, you're going to turn it over and show them some scripture. And you use Romans 1, I hope, too. But he didn't do that. He didn't even think about dealing with it. Now, notice what he says, though. God gave them over unto vile affections. And then he says, what? They changed, notice this, the natural use into that which is against nature. Does the same thing in verse 27. In verse 26 and verse 27, you have the Greek word phusiskos. And it means it is natural. The word natural means by design. By design. Produced by nature. By design. Okay? So he mentions that. He's talking about it. Then he says there is paraphysis, which is against nature. And literally means a deviation form of sexuality. And really what Paul's saying, I don't need to use scripture's common sense. He said, I don't need to use scripture. Just go back and look at the creation. What God did, it's basic anatomy. It's like, I shouldn't even have to be saying this. Well, to violate that design is against nature. To violate what God designed is against nature. And so it's against the created plan of God. It is against the created order of God. It is against the way that God made us to be. That's his point. It is totally against that. And he is saying everybody ought to know that. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So God uses the marriage covenant. And it's not a contract, by the way. It's a covenant. God uses the marriage covenant to represent the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. Marriage is to be lived according to God's truth. And when it is, it honors God. It honors God. Hebrews tells us the marriage bed is not to be defiled. But as Paul says, the glory of God, the honor of God, was exchanged images. The truth of God was changed for a lie. And who took the place of that? It's us. The creation. The creation did. Therefore, Paul says, God brought about disorder in the sexual relationship. Because what? It says here, God gave them up to those things. God gave them up to those things. Vile affections, disgraceful passions. I believe this again, it is God's wrath today. Today. On society. He gave them up to vile affections, and it became a judgment on the human race. It is evident today. When you look at TV, it's rampant. It's discussed in schools. You have special magazines for homosexuals. You have protection. And you have a big okay for it. And yet it's totally against the design of God. Totally against it. You know, it's interesting that Paul does zero in on this one because it was very rampant in those days. Today we're hearing more and more of it. But adultery and fornication, what about them? Are they sins? Sure they are. You commit them, you've committed a sin. But they are natural sins. They're not unnatural. They're natural. You commit them, you've committed a sin. But not an unnatural sin. And you pay for that sin. This is a specific sin here that is unnatural. It's not according to nature. It's not according to God's design here. It's against that. Now notice what he says in verse 27. He talks about the women burn their lust one toward another, men when men work in that which is unseemly, and notice this, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. In other words, this is not a natural. This is an unnatural, and it has its own specific punishment. Has its own specific punishment. It is an unnatural sin. And so it has a specific judgment pronounced upon it, as Paul tells us there. And what is that judgment? I don't know. There are many that says age, but Paul didn't know about age back then. But it certainly could have been other diseases. But all I know is when I read verse 27, it is a judgment, a recompense of their sin, their error, that meets the crime. That meets the sin, specifically for that sin. Well, what could it be? I don't know. Sin always gets what it deserves. And whatever this is. Now we know there are some things that are certainly prevalent when it comes to homosexuality. How about the guilt? How about the pain it causes? How about physical diseases? How about despair and unsatisfaction, those things? It opens up a whole new area of medical treatment that costs who? It's like abortion. If we had never started abortion, we would probably not have any problem with Social Security. But it always comes back to bite us when we don't listen to God's word. And then what about just mental health that plays a part in this? Sin has its consequences, no matter what the sin is. An unnatural sin, as he spoke of here, has particular consequences, and some of those could be at just mental health. Just mental health. You know, I don't know. People don't like to hear that God is judging us now. Why? Why wouldn't he? Why would he not? I mean, look at this world. Look at this society. We care no more about the Word of God than anything. Why would he not be? Why would he not be revealing his wrath right now on us? Why would he not be pulling back his restraint? Why not? Because he's long-suffering. Yeah, he is long-suffering. Scripture tells us that. But also, he is a just God. He will bring judgment. And there will be the final judgment, as you saw in Romans 2 and verse 5. But this one is, these are things that are happening right now. Right now. Well, notice what happens. Next verses, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient or not convenient. So now we have this third turning over here. We've seen they suppress the truth. We've seen because of that they become vain in their imaginations. That's their reasoning power. They become vain and that's just empty. And that creates is their foolish heart that is darkened. No light. And so they rebel against God and his word, and God hands them over to their own desires, to the vanity of their emptiness, of their own imaginations. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Now remember, it's not like a person goes and hears the gospel message and they turn away from it and leave church. Not what he's talking about here. He is not talking about that every unbeliever is in this situation. But there are those who are. And they have suppressed and suppressed and suppressed it and held it down. God says, that's it. There is a fine line between God's patience and God's wrath. There is a fine line between him being long-suffering and his wrath. And that's who he's talking about here. And there are those look at our society. How far have we come and how far have we moved away from God as a society? As a society. And we never think about, you know, and I don't want to keep harping on it, but you saw that in Charlie Kirk. Where in the world? How in the world? Does anybody have any compassion at all? Listen, if the guy was awful and preached the gospel, the power's in the gospel, not in the person, and lives were changed, but you're not having anybody out there, what, celebrating that? We had a lot of lives changed. Who was it? I'm not sure if it's Charles or John Wesley. Preached for several years before he even was saved himself. But the power is in the word, the gospel. That's why Paul starts Romans with that. But you don't hear anybody saying that. Now, you listen to the right people, you will. I mean, what in the world? I said, he has uncovered the kingdom of darkness. True believer. So we're seeing where people are at now. We're seeing what's in this country. And we're seeing how the conscience of people are absolutely seared. Completely. And could care less about God. Can care less about the fact that he was changing lives. Could care less about that. Because they don't care about God. And so God says, I turn you over to a reprobate mind. You won't know good from evil. Goodness, do we not see that? There are people that they cannot tell you the difference between evil and good. They can't. And they say some things, and you're thinking that's not even logical. That is not even logical. I mean, really? They can't think straight. Their reasoning is shot. It is absolutely shot. Men and women folks. Is that make any sense? Really? But they go on with it. They go on with it. Men do not want God or anything to do with God. And God says, fine. Fine. You don't want to listen to me? You want to live without me? You want to live without my truth? Then I'll turn you over to your vain imaginations and see what you come up with. And we'll see where that gets you. So he turns them over to this reprobate mind. It means a useless, worthless mind. That they cannot reason out. They cannot discern good from bad. They cannot tell you what's right from wrong. In the most logical things, they can't tell you. Well, it says it leads them to do that which is not convenient, things that are not fit for man, is the idea of that word. Now, then Paul lists some sins here, and then we're going to close. I'll close here in a few minutes. Notice what he does now. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, that's just kind of a coverall, okay, like you started out. Fornication, which covers pretty much all your sexual sins, more wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, a desire to injure someone, full of envy, murder, debate, no or strife, contention, deceit, malignity. They're like the devil, subtle, crafty. Whisperers. In other words, whisperers, they talk about you behind your back, you know. Backbiters, close to what he's saying about whisperers there. Then he says, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural, you know what natural affection is? Now that's not going back to where we talked about homosexuality. Natural affection is not having family love. In other words, there ought to be a love in a biological family. That should be a natural thing. That's without natural affection. I think the last 2 weeks I've done heard of somebody shot his grandmother. And then there was another shooting, somebody out there. I don't know if it was dad or what. No natural affection, no family affection, no showing of family affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Now, all of those sins. Now notice what it says. It says filled with, not affected by, not influenced by, but filled with all unrighteousness. I almost got to go back. Remember what he told Abraham. Their sins are not full yet. Amorites, their iniquity. Remember before Noah, it says they were sinning. The world was in sin continually. There's no break in it. Continually. But here, and this last verse, is the extremity. This is the reprobate mind to its extreme. Notice what he says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now notice that. Have we seen that at the killing of Charlie Clark? We've seen celebrating. We've seen parties. We have had signs put out there, kill all Charlie Kirks. laughing. That's the extreme of a reprobate mind. How in the world is one thing for a person to practice it, but it's quite another thing when they begin to enjoy it, and they applaud it, and they advocate it, like we have seen over these past 2 weeks. I told a pastor, I said, well, that all these signs out there they got that kill all the Charlie Kirks, well, that puts a bullseye on the pastors, don't it? Because that's about where they look, churches, because they know the churches, solid churches, are going to preach what he preached. And they're going to be against what he was against. I said, that puts us in a pretty good place. Anybody that believes the Word of God, anybody that talks the Word of God, lives the Word of God, got a bullseye on. That's all it takes to incite someone to do that. And so here we have those practicing exactly what we see there. To sin is evil. As we've seen, to sin is wicked. But to delight in the perversion of somebody else and their sin, that is the extremity of a reprobate mind. And it says they're worthy of death, thanatos. That means eternal death. Paul says they're worthy of what? Eternal death. Wow. Unbelievable. We see today TV, we see sex, deceit, undermining authority, whether it's parents or whether it's law enforcement, what, laughing at it, applauding it, approving it, receiving pleasure from it. You know, it's a sad state, folks. Sad state. But here's the good thing. You may know someone that's at that point. I don't know. You may. You may know someone at that point of just suppressing the truth. Well, keep praying. That's what we're to do. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from where he was writing this. He says in chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," okay, "nor abusers of themselves of mankind," all that's fitting what he's saying over Rome, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this, and such were some of you." You were guilty of those things. You were guilty of those things he mentioned in Rome. Some were of you doing the same thing. But ye are washed, you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And Paul, who was writing those two books, could attest to the fact that God's grace can save anyone. But they have to come to the point where they call out to God. And God's grace can save any person. But when God turns them over, that's when they are in a bad fix. Not that they can't make a turn, not that they can't begin to look to the Lord, but they've gone another level down, two levels down, when God puts them and brings them to that position. Well, again, pray for our country. Pray for God's working in the hearts. Pray that God will use this, that he'll use it for his glory, because God will bring good out of bad. And he can take care of the evil. But we are a Christian nation in name only, folks. It was founded upon Christian principles, but we're a long way from that. We're a long way from that. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed.